previously on Worlds Away.
After another few days of travel, the Valiant drops out of FTL, and we pick back up with the ship entering the atmosphere of Feronia 1.
Next to the lake is a couple clusters of crocodilian-looking creatures.
These serpentine flying organisms?
We see what sort of looks like domed creatures, looking most closely to what we would call jellyfish.
I think off in the distance, in a clear patch of land, Arno notices that the ground is moving, but behaving the way that you might expect water to.
You see two people jump out from behind one of those parked ground vehicles I mentioned. But instead of interacting with you at all, they bound quickly toward a trio of people. And before any of those three can turn around, the two people in the jackets with the bandanas over their face fling the contents of the cylinder at a woman near the back of that group. And she is covered in bright red paint.
Do you know who those people were that threw paint at that person who won't talk to us?
Not specifically.
Generally?
I'm guessing they were upset about her.
Why would they be upset about her?
You can usually just tell here. She was a hunter.
That's so excellent, because also for fun facts, I have a zero on
really?
Scoping out.
All right, we really fucked up who's doing the role here.
Yes. Also, for what it's worth, I have a +1 to stalwart, so it was significantly
unreal.
Better the other way.
Unreal.
Oh, look, a 4.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and mark some XP.
And so I think that you and Mara kind of head out of this building and you leave the shield behind in kind of the rush out of there.
So can you tell me more about the creature you saw?
Not sure why you all are coming to talk to me now. I already told the other guy everything I knew.
If you don't mind my asking, who was the other guy?
He kind of narrows his eyes and reaches into a bag, but then he pulls out, and this kind of strikes you, a rectangular paper business card.
So Lila's going to pay for the drinks and then pull out her slate and show the picture of the business card and say, "Is Mr. Krieg available by any chance?"
"I'm not taking any appointments now, though you should certainly come back in a few weeks."
"We're not looking to make an appointment, but I think I happen to be walking the same trails as you are at the moment."
"If you're looking for this monster, this is a Feronia problem. Last thing we need is a bunch of Earthers coming here and, well, stepping in it. Respectfully, of course." But as soon as he says that, the door to the bar opens with kind of a soft bang, at which point he says, "Oh, fuck." And back at the door, the woman at the front of the group finishes putting away her sunglasses, and she says, "All right, which one of you is Ren Krieg?"
I'll look over at Ren and just say, "Sounds like a Feronia problem."
Welcome to World's Way, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'm your game master, John Ossip, and with me we've got Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Woolbanks.
Spit take.
Michael Morales.
You.
And Mo Shatara.
John won't let me eat.
That's true. I will not let you eat on mic, even though I still see you chewing right now.
I'm not chewing.
Okay, well.
I have finished my protein bar.
Will you please drink, take a sip of water to clear out your pipes?
Yeah, this is for everyone's benefit, but mostly ours.
I'm going to enjoy cutting out that swishing later. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So I think we're going to pick back up where we left off, which is in a booth in the back right corner of a bar that I extremely wittily named Earl's on Gray. And where the four of you are sitting kind of both opposite and next to a man who has kind of sunken down into his
seat.
Sorry,
I just got that one.
Oh, no, Mike.
There was a whole thing where Christ. I asked for a cocktail that was tea-based.
I want to be clear that I did get that last session. It just felt like the appropriate joke to make now.
Wait, you faked being dumb for a joke?
Damn yes. it.
What the fuck? Since all right. when?
This is the man you're marrying. This is last chance.
All right. I'm gonna plot forward now. You're in this bar. This guy's kind of sunken down into his seat. I think his hat has also like started to sink a little bit lower over his face.
Yeah, it has.
And he's just kind of looking like he does not want to be seen. But standing in the doorway to the bar are three people, all of whom seem to be in their 30s or 40s. One is a man with pale skin and dark brown hair. And another is a woman with dark brown skin, long tied back hair. And she is holding some kind of club or bat. But at the front of the group is a sort of ripped woman with pale skin and short, spiky blonde hair. And as she moves into the bar, she says, "I'm not going to ask again, which one of you is Ren Krieger?" And sitting at the table, what do you all do as this happens?
How far away is she from us?
Probably like 40 feet.
And remind me, when we left and when we were in front of Ren, were we sitting down or standing?
I assume you kind of moved into the booth, but okay. You tell me.
I'd lean back into the chair and just take a really relaxed pose.
Okay. So you're just sitting there. And he's kind of, I think, like opposite you, right? So he's like facing away from the door and is kind of like sunk down. So that way no part of him is visible above the bench, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm not looking at the people that just came in. I am kind of just like lean back a little bit, relaxed expression on the face. And I'm really just looking at Ren. I see him trying to disappear from sight and keep just a little private. I am looking right at him.
Yeah. Okay. Is anyone else doing anything?
I think Mara's just going to lean forward to Ren and be like, "I don't think she's going to ask again."
He just kind of leans forward and whispers and just says, "Fuck, we need to get out of here."
I think Leela is going to look at the group and say, "We need a distraction, and then we can get out of here and have a longer conversation with Mr. Krieger." Any volunteers?
I'll look over at Nasir.
Of course. I will step forward. And he doesn't say that. I don't say that with any, like, malice. I'm like, of course. And I'll step forward. Excuse me. I was actually also looking for the gentleman whose name you just said. I am like bumbling, right? In a way that you like haven't seen Nasir do before. I was hoping that someone would be able to show me around town. Are you available? I will engage them directly, like as far from the door as possible, and orient myself so that if there is a back door, their backs are to it.
What's Ren doing?
I think when Nasir says that, you see him kind of like look to his left over his shoulder, but then he puts his head down into his hand almost as if he's like, "Oh fuck, this is not going well." Okay, but Nasir, so I understand what you're doing. So you're standing up trying to, they're walking in from the door right now. So you're kind of in between them and Ren, or what are you trying to do physically? I wanted to make sure
I
understood that.
Is there a back door?
So I think there's like a hallway that kind of is to the back near where you are that seems to go like into the back of this bar.
Got it. So what I am trying to do then, I mean, I don't know if there's a back door back there. When I stand up, I want to just do a quick, like I want to stand up. I want to do this pretty quick and see if I can see a back door as I like move and start talking to them. And I'm like swiveling my head around the bar. But like, I want to see if I can clock a door while I'm talking to them.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I think what I want you to do then is go ahead and roll scope it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll resolve the conversation sort of as that happens.
7.
All right. Mixed success. So on a 7 for scope it out, you can ask one question from the list.
So my question is, where is the best escape route, way in, way past?
So I think you kind of look to your right as you're standing up. And just to describe the layout of the bar a little bit more. So there's a kind of like horseshoe or U-shaped bar in the middle of the room. And to the left of the bar, there's some tables, but also that's where the pool table and the dartboards are. And then you're at kind of, and this is kind of facing the bar as you walk in the door. You were kind of at one of the back right tables on this right side. And just behind you, like further back along that wall that's to the right of the bar, there's a narrow hallway. And I think you see that in this narrow hallway, there are two bathrooms. And then further back from that, there's a doorway that would lead into the kitchen at the back of this bar. And I think you would probably infer that there's a way out just for like safety reasons of the bar through the kitchen, that there's another exit, but you'd have to go through the kitchen to get there.
Got it. Then what I'm doing is I'm moving myself so that they are facing the front door again with their backs to the kitchen. So essentially they're turning their backs to the crew.
Okay. I think that might be hard because of the fact that they're like in the door, like coming in through the door. So I think you'd have to like walk up to them to do this. Is that what you want to do?
That's what I'm suggesting. Okay. It's like I'm standing, I'm walking up to them, and then as I'm talking to them, I'm like circling them, right? Like a very eager tourist, but I am slyly trying to read, like move their faces towards the door.
Okay.
So I think also like my conversation with them is essentially like, were you looking for a nature tour or are you a competing tour guide? I'm visiting from Aventine and I was just wondering, you know, I wanted to see all there is to see. And I'm being like very like a goof.
Yeah. Okay. I want to get the next line and then I think you're going to have to roll for this. Right. But I think the person at the front of the group says, look, you're in out of your depth. You should get out of our way and find someone else to give you your tour.
I didn't mean to be in anyone's way. I'm so sorry. I thought, do you know where I could find someone to give me a tour? Is there like a good place around here to find something of that nature? I'm just looking to see, is there anything you think I should see or anyone I should talk to? And I just start rambling. Yeah.
And I think that this is just to make it what you said before make sense. This is kind of when you're like going behind them to the door. So that way it's kind of like, oh, I guess I need to find someone else. But I do want you to roll. And I'd probably say manipulate unless you have a playbook move that you think works for this.
Well, my only question is, am I trying to convince them of some fact of my past, regardless of whether it's true?
I don't think so.
You're saying you're an Aventine tourist. Borderline iffy.
It's shaky at best. So that is a 8. I have a +2 to manipulate.
Oh, okay. All right, excellent. I saw a 6 come up and I got really concerned. But okay.
Why don't you just use the little buttons that add the modifier?
I don't like them that way.
All right.
It stresses me out every time.
Right. So but this simulates what it would be like at a real table where you see the dice number and then you have to ask me my modifier.
I just want to throw this out there. Mara is going to be waiting like kind of with her ear to the conversation. And I think it's her intent to pull a sneaky and try to kind of, if we could cluster around Ren and try to sneak him out of there.
A secret service maneuver.
Right. Like, grandfather, let me help you out of the booth. Like, you're so frail and your oldness is, I am helping. But if it takes a turn, right? Because at this point, yeah. I don't think Mara knows how the conversation's going. But if it starts to get violent, then I think the idea is make a break for it.
Yeah. So I think you're going to get the opportunity to roll for that. But I want to resolve Nasir's thing
first. Of course. Just wanted to put my intent out there.
Yeah. No, I like that. So on a 7 to 9 for manipulate, the NPC can choose one, which is to make a counteroffer to be settled now before they'll do what you want. Or they will ask you to promise something and provide concrete assurance that you'll follow through, and then they'll do what you want. And I think what you're trying to get them to do is to turn around and leave with you. And yes. I think they do turn around to face you, right? So I think that's going to give Mara the opportunity. But what I think they say is, well, actually, I take that back. And if you're looking for Mr. Kriga, there really is none better. So how about you come with us and we'll find him together?
Mm. Nice knowing you.
That is a splendid idea. Do I need anything? Should I meet you somewhere? Will there be any charge?
Absolutely not. It's going to be really easy. And I think that while she says this, one of the other, there was the woman that had the bat that is actually going and starting to circle the bar, though, from the left side. So kind of the furthest away from the three of you at the table. So at this point, Mara, if you're leading this Secret Service effort, I think it's going to be act quick. And so I want you to go ahead and roll plus lick.
Does she get to roll with advantage since I distracted them? Otherwise, I don't know why I would have distracted them.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
So I add one more D6 and then take the top two.
Yeah.
Okay. This can't possibly go wrong. I have a plus one, right?
Oh, dear.
Mixed success.
That's an 8.
Okay. It's an eight. All right. Oh, I don't hate. 8, don't hate. Got it. Yes.
Yeah. Good. That would have not been an 8 if you didn't have advantage on that. So
I do know how those numbers work. Thank you for rubbing it in. I'm very well acquainted with failing in this game.
So for act quick, when you use your instincts or reflexes to avoid danger or negotiate through danger toward a goal, you roll plus slick, and on a 7 to 9, you have to choose one from the list. And that's either you're off balance or rushed, and you have disadvantage going forward, you've left something behind, I'll tell you what, or you're pushed to your limits and you suffer a stress.
I think it's going to be you left something behind.
Ooh.
I know what I want it to be, but...
What's your proposal for that then?
I want it to be her visor.
Oh, interesting.
Her little nerdy visor. It's not like a hard negative, right? But I think to Mara, emotionally, it is.
And that's like that's not the same as the scanner, right?
No. It's just like a piece of her outfit.
Okay.
That she took off when she sat down.
Okay. I like that. So yeah, so you get up from the table and I think you kind of Secret Service him into the kitchen.
Oh, wait, no. So before he even stands up, I want to extend my leg to the other side of the booth to sort of block him and just say across the table, you'll stay close, won't you?
Ooh.
You do that. I think he looks at you and then like looks back over his shoulder and then looks back to you and just kind of silently nods.
Wonderful.
Can I just say, I think I want to help get Krieg into the kitchen, but... I think someone needs to stay behind and try to make sure does not totally abandon Nasir.
Okay. Who's staying behind then?
I'll stay.
Okay.
In the military outfit? I don't know if that's a great idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
So if you're staying, Arno, are you staying seated in the booth or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm staying seated in the booth. I'm going to dump out all of everybody's drinks on the floor, like under the booth, except for one that I'm going to mostly dump over. And I'm going to kind of like hunch over in my chair as if I'm like really, really drunk and having a bad time. I'm drinking alone. I'm drinking a lot.
Okay. And are you still wearing the Republic, the uniform?
Yeah. And I've got it like unbuttoned at the top button.
Okay. I actually like this. Okay. So what I think happens is the woman that was at the front of the group, the spiky hair, right? She takes you, Nasir, and says, here, why don't you step outside with Jax and he's going to have a word with you, and gestures for you to head to the door.
I'll go with him.
Okay. So I think, Arno, you kind of hear this and see Nasir coming out the front door. But while this is happening, the woman with the bat is kind of making rounds around the bar. So I think you have the opportunity to either like kind of wait for her to get to the table, or you could try to do something now.
I'm going to put my finger in the remaining of the drink, dap it up on my neck like a little bit of cologne at this point.
Okay.
And I'm going to like try to push myself up from the booth like really dramatically and like tip over the drink, spilling at that point. Okay. I want to draw some attention to myself, kind of like let out a small belch, which I'm not going to narrate over here.
Yeah, thank you.
And
your discretion's appreciated.
Yeah. Just look at my drink. Guess I need another one.
Okay. And what are you trying to accomplish with this?
I'm trying to, one, convince them that I'm just profoundly drunk, and two, that I'm trying to make my way outside, preferably to the street, to throw up.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. I'm trying to think what to roll here. I think it's act quick, but I'm open to arguments if you think it's something else.
No, I think I'm good with act quick on this one.
All right. So go ahead and roll plus slick.
Plus zero. We are raw dog in this roll.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Wait, let me get that experience.
We should have done some prep work before this.
Yeah, that's a three. Wait, all right.
I think I might level. Hold on 1 second. I just want to be, I level.
Anyway. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, okay, I guess before I resolve what happens then, what advance are you taking?
I'm going to take Adrenaline Rush.
Okay, and what is that as my fear increases dramatically here?
When you flood your system with adrenaline in a tense or dangerous situation, discharge this move and roll plus Stalwart. On 10 plus, hold 2. On 7 to 9, hold 1. When you're still in danger, you may spend hold. One for one of the following. Ignore any negative effects or modifiers caused by harm you have marked. Perform an incredible athletic feat, or add your volatile modifier to the harm that you deal for one attack.
Oh, wow. Okay. Damn. Okay, that's pretty good. So yeah, so go ahead and mark that. What I think happens is you achieve a little too hard at what you wanted to do. And specifically what happens is you stand up from the table and step out to make this show of things, but you had mentioned that you had poured the drinks on the floor earlier, and I think that you actually, like, in your kind of fake stumbling, you genuinely lose your footing and you slip down and hit the floor hard, and the glass shatters from your hand. You're gonna take one harm from hitting the floor.
Okay.
But the other thing is that you're on the ground now and have the attention of the woman who is kind of meandering around the bar with the bat. And meanwhile, Nasir, you are kind of taken outside by this man who has this pale skin, kind of dark brown hair. And he like leads you around to the side of the building toward an alley.
As we start going towards the alley, I'm actually gonna, usually when a man leads me towards an alley where we're interested in different things than a nature tour.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop walking when I say that.
Okay. So I think you say that, and I'm going to give you a chance to react to this. But he goes, and what he's intending to do is to like swing and punch you in the gut when you say that.
How do I respond to that? I think I, Minerva Project combat training, I'm going to duck out of the way and just stick my foot to trip him. Like, that's like just to send him sprawling.
Okay. You will attempt to do this, but so go ahead and roll firefight then. So you roll plus volatile.
Isn't it act quick?
Not if you're trying to hit him.
I'm just trying to get out the way and trip him. That's, I feel like that's different, but maybe it's not. All right. Let's see. That is very bad.
Oh no. All right.
Are we
that's
sure
a four.
It's not act quick?
I'm pretty sure. Okay.
So I don't feel like XP. Act quick would have helped you. That still wouldn't have gotten you up to success.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me ask this. You're going to get hit, and I think you're going to take 2 harm from this experience.
Sure.
But do you shout out or anything when you get hit?
Scream for me.
I don't think so. I don't think I do.
Okay. So I think you get hit and you kind of are winded, right, from this blow. But now this man has you kind of cornered up against the wall on the side of this building.
I'm also going to split that, by the way, one harm, one stress.
Okay. Sounds good. Arno, you're on the floor and the woman with the bat has walked up to you. But I don't think you're aware of like what's happened with Nasir yet outside. But you did see him get kind of let out. And I think the woman in the doorway has kind of like leaned her head out the door to see what's going on.
I'm fine. I'm just going to try to reach for the nearest stool and just try to like prop myself up right now. And
okay.
Just need to place my drink. Be fine. It's gonna be fine.
I'm not gonna make you roll for this. I think that the fact that you fell has kind of added to this, like the spectacle. But are you trying to move to the door, or are you just trying to like stay in the bar?
I'm gonna try to like move towards the bar, and I think at some point I'm just gonna like fake retch and then try to like make a beeline for the door.
Okay, so I think you do that, and as you get up to the door, the blonde woman at the door extends her arm out to like block your path through the door. What do you do?
I'm just kind of like look at her and do my best impression of like a dazed look, like out of focus mm-hmm. type situation. And just, where are your lungs to?
Wait, what? Sorry, I couldn't understand what you said.
This is my poor attempt at New Finney slang. I'm just going to look at her. Where your lungs to?
Okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Typically, where like do you it. Belong to? Where are you from? Type situation.
I love okay. it.
Like, where okay. did you come from? I don't think she would know that,
yeah.
right? Like, that's the
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah. No.
I know. Wants to know.
Yeah. And are you just trying to stick with the like? Oh, convincing her you're about to throw up here.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. So okay, I have a kind of radical idea, which is. Is this intimidate?
It absolutely is not.
I think I'm going to try to intimidate her into thinking I'm going to throw up all over her. If that can be an
this is 100% stalwart. It's keep your cool.
Keep your cool.
He's actively trying to be like a persuasive drunk in, I don't know.
Okay, wait. I'll dig that.
Okay, fine.
All right, so yeah, go ahead and roll. I like keep your cool. Go ahead and roll plus stalwart.
Okay.
I just like the narrative concept of trying to intimidate.
Jesus Christ, Lauren.
Oh, no. Mike, you rolled a 4.
Well,
all right. This is going poorly, gang.
That's
all right. Mike, mark another XP.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think what happens, though, is you do that, and then she looks at the uniform and then looks at you, and you see like a sense of recognition.
I'm just going to mutter, excuse me, and I would like to discharge my newly acquired move, adrenaline rush.
Okay.
Specifically, to try to perform the incredible athletic feat of getting the fuck out of there.
Okay.
And like pushing past her type situation.
Okay. So I think you can do that, but I think because she now recognizes you as a member of the Minerva Project and as Arno Hines and is intent on blocking the door, you're going to have to roll with disadvantage.
Okay. All right. We take an 8.
Awesome. Okay.
Holy fuck.
So that's an 8. And you get to hold 1. And do you yep. want to spend it on performing incredible athletic feat to get past her?
That's exactly it.
Okay. So what I think happens is you just put your shoulder down and just plow through her, and she lands on her back outside this bar.
Can we add like a little more finesse to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I see the recognitioner look. I take the second where she like kind of pauses, the gears are turning, she recognizes me, I can see that. I take my leg, my right leg, behind her leg, lean in a little bit so she trips, loses her footing. To everybody else, it looks like I stumbled.
Yeah.
And using my momentum, I take another step, and instead of like stumbling, I just go out for a sprint to get out of there.
Okay, I like that. And I think you get outside and you see Nasir on the ground or kind of bent over having just been punched. I want to cut back to the kitchen, though, right now.
Yeah, yes.
So I think you walk in with... Or, I mean, can you describe, Lauren, like, what does it look like as you're kind of leading Ren and Leela into the kitchen here?
I mean, I don't think Mara knows exactly, like, where she's going, right? Of course not. Okay. So I think that... I mean, what is the first room that they walk into? Do they walk into the kitchen? Do they find like an exit door? What am I seeing? What are my options here?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the only options were the kitchen door, which was like it's not even like a full door, if that makes sense. It's just like
the half
an open archway. And then there's like the two doors to bathrooms. So I think that's the only place down the hallway that you
can go. There's one exit to this bar? This is not up to code.
No, no, we have to go through the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. There we go. So yeah, I think we'll head in there. And as we're walking, I think Mara's like, start explaining who those people are right now.
So I think he kind of leans over to you and just says, I was approached by some well-connected individuals here. They wanted to set up a tour for some off-worlders. There were some scheduling issues, and now they've been unreasonable about the timeline for a refund.
I think she's going to look around for an exit.
Yeah.
And say, that story one.
So, yeah, when you say that, I think that you're kind of moving through the door to the kitchen and kind of standing behind a prep counter in the kitchen. You see a man, he's probably in his mid-30s, very skinny guy, tall, with pale skin and kind of short, spiky black hair. And I think he's like holding a knife and was like chopping something, but he looks up and is like, hey, you can't be in here.
Excellent. We were looking for the exit.
You have to go out the front.
I think Leela's going to jump in and reach out to the man, trying to avoid the knife in his hand.
Yeah.
And trying to try to convince him to let us through.
Yeah. Okay, what do you say? I mean, it sounds like you want to roll a suggestion, but what do you say when you do this?
I'll just kind of reach out to him. And I assume he's like the only one in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think he's the only one in there.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say, it's a bit of a dangerous situation. We'd really appreciate it if you let us through.
All right, yeah. So when you use suggestion, you're using your power to subtly influence the mind of some weak-willed living thing. You can discharge that move and roll plus alien. So go ahead and do that, Leela.
Okay.
All right, 14.
Holy fat fuck.
That's a big number.
I just want to be clear. I would like to roll more and fail more.
I would like a more equitable distribution of, like, it is, this is not the economy that I was promised by Barack Hussein Obama. And I hate it.
Mike's leveled up twice and I have 3 XP.
I'm about to level up.
Failed one roll, I think, this whole campaign. Is that right, Haley?
Yeah, it's not been a lot. It's been very few. I get most of my XP from the end of the arc.
So I think what happens is when you kind of touch his hand and say this, his eyes kind of change to have a sense of fear or concern. And he's like, is something going on out there? And kind of goes to crouch down behind the counter where he was chopping up or whatever was on the cutting board. And is kind of like leaning down defensively.
I think I just want him to, not tell anyone we came this way.
I think while she's doing that, I think Mara is looking around for like the back door or what back door would look like. Yeah.
I think you see like a clearly marked rear exit. That's toward the back of the kitchen.
Mara has a sigh of relief that even on this planet so far away from whatever space OSHA is.
Yeah.
Good guidance and regulations are being adhered to.
No, absolutely. So, okay. Well, Haley, what do you say to kind of imply this command?
We were never here.
I think that he just gets even more concerned looking when you say that.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah. And he's just like fully crouched down underneath the counter at this point. So do you all head out the back door?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think you go out this back door and you're kind of in a like an alleyway behind this bar.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, at the front. So, Arno, you see Nasir kind of hunched over, and the woman with the short, spiky blonde hair is kind of on the ground, splayed out from you having tripped her and run through her, and this other dude is kind of menacing over Nasir.
I'm gonna dash towards the other dude.
Okay.
Let me just ask, does it look like he's still actively trying to beat up Nasir?
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm just, as I'm running over there, I'm just gonna shout, "Freeze!"
Okay, so I think you say that, and I'll just say that he kind of looks toward you for a second, and I'm going to come back to you, but Nasir, do you do anything in this moment?
I mean, I think I'll take off running.
Okay. All right, so I think go ahead and roll Act Quick then.
That's fair.
Oh, no. Okay. So you go to flee, and I think it's like it happens so fast you don't even feel it. but you are just splayed down on the ground because you got hit across the back with some kind of baton. And you're going to take 3 harm.
Jesus, what?
Yeah.
I'm taking it as 1 harm and 2 stress.
Okay. All right, Arno, what do you do?
I'm going to take the opportunity to just sucker punch him. If he's, like, beating the shit out of Nasir with a baton, then, like, I'm going to go...
Shoot him again. Yeah. Shoot him. Let's shoot someone in this planet, too. Fuck it.
Nasir didn't like that last time, so I'm going to not do that. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to do better, be better.
This is growth. Yeah.
I want you to know Nasir appreciates that. Mo hopes he wishes you would shoot him in the face.
All right, so go ahead and roll firefight. And I think, in fact, you can do it with advantage because he's, like, facing Nasir at this point.
Fuck yeah.
And you are sucker punching him.
Oh, absolutely. That's a 12. Holy give me that 14
shit.
With the buff.
I love violence.
You would have actually had a... Yeah, even without the advantage, you would have gotten that. So, all right.
Yeah.
Is a sucker punch a specific type of punch, or is that just when you punch a sucker?
Might be both. No, it's when you give someone a lollipop and then you punch them.
Okay, thank you for explaining that.
It's sour apple flavored, for the record, Haley.
Ooh!
So on a 10 plus, you're going to exchange harm, and then you get to choose 3 options from the list.
Oh my god. Give me a second.
So you don't have a weapon, so you can't use the discharge, but anything else goes on this.
Yeah, give me a second.
Discharge my fist.
I'm going to take you impress, dismay, or frighten your enemy. I'm going to take the ability to disengage.
Okay.
And I'm going to... take evasive action and suffer -1 harm.
Okay.
So I guess let me just ask, when it says you make an advance, is that me physically, like, getting closer over here? Because I see you make an advance or force your enemy out of cover.
I think we can interpret that broadly, because I was going to say, I think the thing for disengage is that's, like, a really specific thing about using the recover move.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were like, I want to make an advance and, like, get away from the situation, we've interpreted that as kind of that could include that, I think, in this case.
At your discretion, what I'd really like to do is get out of the situation and, like, have him between me and the spiky haired woman behind us, such that if she wanted to retaliate or do something, like, he's kind of in the way. That's my ideal situation. I don't know if we can get there.
Yeah, I think you can do that.
Okay.
And I think you kind of, like, get to, it's like right now he's in between you and Nasir. And I think you could, like, I mean, I'm just going to say you're going to hit him pretty hard. So what I think happens is, like, you run up and you just sucker punch him in the side of the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he, like, comes around and tries to elbow you. I think you're going to take, like, 1 harm from that encounter. And maybe it's actually just that you hit him so hard that your hand gets hurt.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because I think he can't even, like, get around to hit you, just given the fact that he was striking Nasir. But you, like, lay him out and he is on the ground now also. And you get between him and Nasir, and you're kind of next to Nasir right now.
Do I have the ability to try to help Nasir up?
I think so.
Okay. Let me ask. There's a street. There's an alley. There's the direction back at the bar. I don't want to run that way. Do I see an exit from the alley on the back, or is it a dead end?
Yeah, I think there is an exit down the alley. I think you see it broaden to a bigger, like, what looks like a bigger road.
I'm going to try to fireman carry Nasir out of the alley and get out of there.
Okay.
Princess Carrie.
I feel like this might be your signature move, though.
Oh, all right. Hell yeah. I'm just starting so many moves right now. Yeah, I will go Juggernaut.
Okay. All right, so go ahead and roll plus stalwart.
Now is not the time for experience. Now is not the time for experience. All right,
excellent.
Baby, that's a 10.
All right. So when you move... forward unflinching toward a goal through immediate danger or hazard that others cower from, you roll plus stalwart, and then on 10 plus you're unstoppable, and you can choose 2 options from the list. And that's if you take harm, you take 1 less harm.
Mm-hmm.
You can clear or uncover a way through for an ally, or you unquestionably reach your goal.
I'll take you unquestionably reach your goal, and I will, since I'm carrying Nasir, I don't know that I'm clearing a way for him, since I am the way right now.
I am the way. Arno Hines, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I don't think that you're at an immediate risk of taking harm, so I think that we kind of interpret that as you can get Nasir with you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So I think you kind of pick up Nasir, who is just kind of, like, I mean, so Nasir, what level of harm are you at right now?
2.
Okay. And that's like, I'm rattled. So you're kind of like shaken and shocked is the narrative description of that. So I think you're kind of like getting pulled up by Arno, and just he kind of like fireman carries you down this this alley, and it opens up into the wider alley. And that's when you see Leela and Mara kind of behind the building also.
Hi, let's get out of here.
Agreed.
We are not from here. Does our now escort.
Yeah. So I think he just says, come on, and leads you kind of further down the street. And I think we see like the shot ends with a winded, the people from the bar kind of rounding the corner and you being gone. So I think you're kind of moving quickly through these side streets in Jarvis Prospect, which is this sort of larger settlement on Feronia. And after maybe a couple blocks, I think Ren's kind of pace slows and he turns back to you and says, we should be far enough away now.
Perfect time for you to explain who those people really were. And I'm trying to question him and also ready and willing to roll.
I think he'll respond to that question. But he just says, as I said, I made arrangements with less than savory individuals, perhaps. And they seem to have been disappointed with the timeline of the services I provided.
Let's say that's true. Why exactly were you investigating the creature sightings that have been taking place?
He kind of pauses for a second, but then says, call it a personal hobby. It's been taking up more of my time recently. And he kind of holds up his injured arm and says, hence the disappointed customers.
And you are attempting to convince us that these individuals and your injured arm and the hunters and the terrifying animal sightings, these are all just independent coincidences. This is your assertion.
Certainly it's no coincidence. After all, it was your monster that did this, and kind of gestures the arm. As for the hunting activities, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Listen, Mr. Krieg, I have no compunction with taking you back to those people at the bar and handing you over myself. I need you to tell me what's really going on.
Okay, so I think it sounds like you're trying to intimidate him then.
I am.
Okay, yeah, so go ahead and roll plus volatile.
And I would like to invoke my background whenever I try to pierce lies, confusion, or a mystery and see the wisdom beyond. I have advantage.
Oh, okay. I think that, and that is what's happening here. So yeah, so I think you get advantage. So go ahead and give that a shot.
Okay. That's a 7.
All right.
That's a Haley fail, and where there's the most
this is close to failing. This is close to failing as Haley gets in this game. All right. Mixed success. So when you're intimidating, you use threats to bully someone doing what you want, and you make it clear what you want them to do and what you'll do to them if they don't, then you roll plus volatile. So on a 7 to 9, they have a couple options, which is force you to follow through and suck it up, cave in and do what you want, get out of your way, hunker down and take cover, give you something they think you want, tell you something they think you want to hear, or attempt to de-escalate and look for an exit. Okay, and you're asking what's really going on here.
And there's a glint in my eye that tells him if he lies to me, I'll know.
Yeah. Okay. So he says, as for your questions about my work, I use my skills to show off-worlders like you things they want to see here. And what some of them have chosen to do with that, that's not given me the best reputation with some of the authorities here, and has forced my hand to find work with less respectable clientele. Regarding your question about the creature, though, everything that I said about that is true.
Where were you when the creature attacked you? Assuming I believe the story.
He kind of, like, thinks for a second, but then he says, after a report I got from a man named Sasha, I tracked this monster a few dozen miles to the southwest. The trees were just starting to get dense when I suppose it got the drop on me.
Literally?
Not literally.
We need all the information we can get.
I didn't see much of it. It moved quite quickly, but it's clear this wasn't something to mess with casually.
And so, based on this, I'm just curious, how close is the area he's describing to the violent on-the-road attack that we were briefed about?
Yeah, so I think what he's describing is probably like 10 to 20 miles from where the attack on the road occurred, and maybe like double that distance as the bird flies from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Could you try? So actually, I'm sorry. I realize I've been holding Nasir this entire time. I'm going to assume that I have like dusted him off and like put him down and set him up, right? Just everybody else is completely ignored Nasir. Hey, bud, you all right there? Great. Okay. You can just fuck right off now. Anyway.
For what it's worth, I wasn't even hurt bad. I just was sort of knocked to the ground.
I know.
It's very interesting that you chose to carry me.
But I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. Anyway.
Yeah, you were on the ground. I think you just got knocked down. So, his scoop and score with you kind of made sense, but I don't know if he had to keep carrying you.
I want to be honest. That is exactly what I thought of as I was describing the movie, like, oh, scoop and score, and I didn't know how to work that. Anyway. So you're standing up now, finally. Why am I still holding you? Anyway.
The ship is back, baby. The ship is back.
Could you track it again?
He says, I'm the only one here who can.
Will you?
We'll consider it a debt paid.
A debt paid, and one more thing. Just the truth, which is proof that we stopped this thing, and you say that I helped you track it.
On its face, not unreasonable.
But we need to be assured that you won't be backstabbing us anytime soon. And I just give him a little bit of a glare.
Yeah.
I don't trust him.
He says, I'm not exactly the backstabbing type. And I mean, those three are still out looking for me, so.
Well, then we have a little bit of insurance.
Hey everyone, it's Mo. Thank you so much for listening to World's Away. This game has been a blast to play, and it has been wonderful to get to share the story with you. If you're enjoying World's Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends and family. And if they are starting to get annoyed with the fact that you keep talking about us, that's okay. That means you're doing it right. You can also support us by giving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform where you listen to podcasts. And if you want to give us a shout out on social media, you can find us on most platforms at World's Away Pod. We're online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
So I think that's the scene. And now I'm going to pull up a map.
A map.
Oh, drum roll.
Okay. I'd like to be clear that... So some of the other maps, we've had an array of things that you've seen. And this is my first hand-drawn map that I'm going to be showing you. So I need you to restrain yourselves from
Wait,
the experience.
John, did you use
absolutely
like a,
not.
Did you use like a compass and have like one of those little pencils?
I,
and the
I did not.
Protractor?
No.
No, the protractor is just an approximately. It's a compass. She said the word.
I'm not correcting Lauren. I am asking additional questions.
Okay. I will say that was from my own shame because I was only 35% sure it was called a compass.
So this is an approximately 2 minute map. No, it was 5 minutes. I'm not
There's
gonna lie
nothing
to you.
Wrong with that. That has a perfectly that's a great map.
Yeah, oh, thank I think you. It's I got to see it on paper and I thought it was very nice.
Yeah, it looks good.
So just to describe what we're seeing, there's kind of a like a cliff that goes down from a plateau, and that's in this valley is kind of where everything in this setting is occurring. So right kind of below this waterfall that I described that made this kind of like mist in the air, that is where Jarvis Prospect, the settlement, is. So I think there's a couple mines that you can see on the map, including one that's to the northwest that is along this long road that crosses the river, and along which is the kind of site of the attacked or the ambushed convoy that was kind of the precipitating event for this. Along that road is also the pumping station which Sasha Kumar, the plumber that you met with, who had described seeing this creature kind of menace him on the wall, that's where he saw that. And then sort of further to the southwest, you can see some poorly drawn trees, and that is the kind of more heavily wooded area where Ren was describing having encountered the creature himself. And so I want to kind of first ask, where's our first destination on this adventure? And then second is ask how you're going to get there.
I really want to go to the mine at some point. And I know that we've been a bit distracted. The Eastern Mine, I think, just because it'll be easier for us to get there and back and possibly still investigate. But I also know that Ren has no reason to know why we won't be at the mine. So, yeah.
And you're saying to look into the Lostra situation?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we can go to the Northeast Mine, or at least go on that road.
The Northwest Mine.
Oh, sorry. Northwest Mine. Northwest Mine.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm dumb, but what is the pumping? What is one pumping at the pumping station?
Oh, water from the river.
Okay. Sweet. Got it.
Okay. So, hear me out.
We're listening.
Our means of transport, the not yet used, but highly anticipated grizzly right off the ship.
Okay. And the grizzly is the name of this passenger vehicle that you have. Is that correct, Mike?
That's correct. I'm sorry. I didn't give that up. We want to bring out the Grizz. I don't know. Did that work?
Fine? I think you kind of cut out for me, so it's hard to say, but we'll have to see when we check the tape on this.
Sunday, come see the Grizz. That's what I got.
Okay.
Beautiful. So, I mean, I think we should go on the road to the Northwest Mine. That'll get us the ambushed convoy location and the pumping station. And then if after the pumping station, we can determine if we want to go all the way to the Northwest Mine or turn back around and go to the Eastern Mine. But I think we should at least start on that road so we can hit those spots and have the benefit of Ren being with us.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think that makes kind of the most sense for at least right now with what we have on hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, since you seem the most pumped about this, I want to kind of turn it over to you and ask you to describe what the grizzly looks like.
Oh, no.
So this did get some description back when we were doing the ship building during character creation. And I think for the color, the one note I had was it was this like oil slick, like the sort of like black with the kind of what do you call that? Is it
Iridescent.
Iridescence. Mm-hmm. There we go. Thank you. Helping me out with my word picture.
Windows tinted, climate controlled, the best, nicest synthetic leather that a government budget can sustain. I don't know how many shutdowns there have been between now and this point in the Republic, but like they did the best they could. Is it comfy? Yeah. Does it seat five? Absolutely. And because it can be driven by AI, the front seats, which are like captain style seats over here, can swivel such that your back is facing the road while the car is like driving it, while the Grizz is driving itself. And there's like a table that can like pop out from the floor, small one, thin, narrow one. Normally you'd play cards on it or something, but like think of it like conference style so that the people in the back can face the people in the front when you like swivel your chair to turn back towards them.
So just to be clear, we did kind of have a description of some of this. It's in the ship sheet. So So we said that there are two rows of three that are facing each other.
Oh, sweet.
And then there's like, I think two up front and then there's two jump seats.
I still think, keeping that description in mind, the two front seats swiveling, which All is right. a real design in a currently being beta tested by like some smart cars right now with self-driving would be really, really cool.
I think the middle, the normally back facing seats could probably also swivel and you could have like a circle of seats kind of situation. Like it's the future. Why not?
The Grizzly also has a leaf, like a table. You could just put more car on. That one was a little too ridiculous. No, I'm sorry.
What did you say? Put what
I
on
said
it?
It's like a leaf, right? Like you can add more car on, like a leaf in for the middle, a table. Like you
just,
you
oh, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Like, you like, just add okay, more I gotcha. Car if you need more car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You slide it. Modularity is the future.
You pull it apart in the middle and then stick another segment in there.
Understanding, yes.
Yeah. Okay, excellent.
There are no handles for the car. They've just completely smoothed it out at this point. It's just activated by slate, so the doors open when you come in. Super cool, super sleek. We like that. There would probably be like a monitor in the middle console over here, just showing diagnostics for like both the Grizz itself and I suppose the terrain, So you could get like read it. Like, I don't know how far ahead it can like scan, but I imagine it might tell you like, oh, upcoming weather, like water depth, like estimated whatever, or, oh, there's a cliff. So we need to like reroute or something, just something for status updates and some communication. Okay. And our slates can like interface with that console. So if we wanted to like call into it, like we could very easily. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. I love this. And so what I think we see, like, I kind of like want to just cut to like the next shot from the conversation with Ren. And I think it's like, we see the kind of aerial photography of the dust being kicked up on the road as the grizzly kind of heads down south from the settlement and sort of heading toward this site on the road of the ambushed convoy. And I think like in the shot, or maybe like out the windows on the left side, we see, I think we'd mentioned these like domed air jellyfish with these tentacles that are kind of floating from tree to tree. And I think we see a trio of them sort of out the left side of the vehicle. So I want to turn it over to you all now and ask, where is everyone kind of sitting in the car, and what is everyone doing during this this road trip?
I think Arno's driving, or at the very least in the front row, even if not driving, unless anyone feels very strongly that they want to be the person like navigating here.
I would think that Mara is definitely playing around with the interface, since this is might have been the first time since training for the Minerva project that she's in the Grizz by herself and is kind of, you know, looking at her slate, poking around on, I'm sure, the like projected buttons or whatever. Again, like looking at the terrain, setting the course, looking at weather conditions or any other variables and seeing what kind of a sensor diagnostics or anything that the Grizz can do by itself.
So I think Leela is going to be sitting in the middle area where there's the two rows of three facing each other. She's going to want to keep an eye on Kriga as this whole ride happens and make sure he's not up to something, fiddling with anything, or just interfering in any way. So she's going to maybe be sitting facing forward and then have him across from her in one of those seats. So she has him in front of her the whole time. And then she'll have a sketch pad out and kind of be just sketching the scenery that she sees going by a bit absentmindedly, not super focused, because she's keeping an eye on Krieg out of the corner of her eye.
Yeah. So I think if you're doing that, I mean, he's sitting across from you, and I think he has, it's like, it's not military in any way, but he has a sighted rifle, right? Like a rifle with a scope on the top of it. And he is like kind of absentmindedly staring out the window, but also like fiddling with this or kind of maintaining it during this car ride.
So I think I probably got in the car first. Like I got in the Grizz first and just went all the way to like the back driver's side seat, like as far back into the vehicle as I could have gotten.
Okay.
And then throughout this, I am just staring out into the sort of landscape and the wilderness. And John, remind me if you've already described this, but it's like a sort of, like, is it a flat landscape? Is it a hilly landscape? Is it like a canyonlands type deal? Like, what are we looking at?
So I think it's definitely there's some hilliness to it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's kind of mostly open grassland. I think we described things as all having this kind of blue tint to everything there. And there's also, in the area where you're driving right now, very intermittent single or small groups of these trees that have these kind of like flat leaf layers that are a very solid blue, like a little darker than Leela's hair, I think is how I described it.
Yeah. So I think this is the first time we've really like been out in the wilderness while we've been on the project. And so I am staring like very pointedly out the window and probably like reminiscing on the frontier of Aventine and what that was like and how it's different from this.
Okay. I definitely want to come back to that. But as we're in the car, like what is everybody else doing? Or is there any kind of conversation going on? I know that Mario, you said you were kind of messing with the systems, but.
So could you actually describe the rifle a little bit more?
Yeah. So I think it, for this time, it looks very old fashioned. And I think it has like a wood stock. So like kind of the whole like bottom of it is wood, save for the sort of like gunmetal of the barrel and this, I guess, like medium sized scope that's on the top of it, like a kind of rifle sight.
So I think that Mara has distinctly taken notice of this and is quite like grave and quiet and very much is distracting herself with interacting with the Grizz's kind of modules.
Yeah.
I think Arno's just keeping a lookout on the landscape for any signs of the thing we're tracking or just any obvious signs of disruptions or something that might be fresh or new. And I think more importantly, any signs of any other vehicles.
Yeah. And Mike, I think if you're looking out to the road to kind of see what else is out there. So, I mean, I don't think that you're seeing any signs of like the creature, right? But the one thing that I think strikes you is the road seems like totally vacant. And I think that you would suspect that there would be more activity if things were kind of proceeding as usual. And so I think taking the briefing that you got, you can kind of infer that the fears of this monster, quote unquote, have really kind of like shaken the sort of activities on Feronia, or at least around this settlement.
So one thing that I do want to kind of establish is that since we went back to the ship and went got on the Grizz, armory that we have. So while my playbook has a sniper rifle and a shotgun, I don't believe you'll see Mara wielding those. I think she has picked up her pistol, but that is all she is carrying right now.
Yeah. And I'll just say, you know, I think if people want to like add that in for flavor, you know, definitely go for that. Because you went back to the ship, I'll say for impulse drive reasons, right? With the exception of Nasir's shield, which I want to kind of enforce that you had left that behind in the previous episode, you have like restocked your equipment and you can say what you have on you when you need it. Or again, like what Lauren did, if you want to add that in now and kind of add that for flavor, I think go ahead and feel free to do that.
I want to hold off, but I do think just sort of like the tone of what Arno's brought back over here is more tactical and less offensive. I know that there are others that are like hunting this thing. I think at his core, Arno is not interested in taking part in a hunt, as it were, so much as it is that he's trying to like go through the rest of the mission, get to the mine, and then like, if at all possible, really just keep the other hunters away. If this can be resolved, like that's the sort of gear that he's bringing. And like, that's what I'm sort of thinking towards. I don't know if that's helpful for you at all, John, but like, as I'm thinking about like, what Arnold is going to pull out his bag of tricks, it's very much going to be like shield and anything with like a stun setting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Cool. Well, is there any conversation going on in the car? Kind of like, what are y'all doing to pass the time?
I think I want to just talk more to Ren about the creature and sort of his injury and what happened.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it's a pretty nasty injury you got there. Do you want to tell us how it happened?
He kind of like moves his arm to the side a little bit, like away from you, and says, "It's not so bad, just a scratch, really."
Did it get the jump on you?
You can say that. I thought the reverse was true until it lashed out.
Did it hear you or did it see you first?
Are those really the only two senses that you assume it could have used?
Do you want to keep playing 20 questions or do you want to tell me what happened?
Look, I was tracking it down. I was lining up a shot. It pounced. It scratched my arm.
How big was it?
Hard to say exactly, but probably more than a dozen feet long if you include the tail at least.
And you said it scratched you. Does it have any other natural protection? Scales? Tough hide?
Again, it was hard for me to see, but if the rumors I've assembled are assumed to be true, it seems like this thing can take a shot or two without even flinching.
So let me get this straight. You're talented enough to hunt this thing down, to get it in your sights, but then somehow unable to see much of it and then get attacked by it. Is that correct?
It's hard to get a good look when it was right on top of me.
I would think it's very easy to get a look when it's right on top of you.
It's harder than you might think. And I think she's going to look at his gun and ask, was that made on Earth or here in the Verge?
On Earth.
I thought so. And she's going to return to her numbers.
So what's Leela doing while this is happening?
So I think maybe once the conversation sort of peters off, I think Leela wants to break the tension a little bit or just kind of break the silence. And I think she's going to pull out her slate and just ask the car, is it cool if I put on some music? And without really sort of waiting for an answer, she's just going to, you know, do some swipies on her slate and make it happen. So I think she's going to play, I don't know what the exact term for this, but sort of like coffee house kind of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a woman with a guitar, with an acoustic guitar. Sing, yeah. So I think she's
like
going to put on.
Folk pop kind of? Or,
yeah,
I don't know, is
folk
that right?
Pop. I think that's right. And the song is going to be called Gardens of the Sky. And it's going to be, I didn't think of an artist's name. dang it.
I'm already impressed that we got genre. So the fact that we have a song title is already
I never doubted her.
Shocking for me.
I don't know. I think it's just one of those artist names is just like a person's name. So it's just sort of, we don't really have to, it's just someone's first and last
name. Is it just like a single name or is it like a full
name?
No,
I think it's just like their first and last name.
Sailor Moon. It means something different in the future.
Yeah.
It's not a reference.
So it's just some person's name and the song title is Gardens of the Sky and it's this kind of folk pop vibe. And I think it's, I think Leela has eclectic taste. I don't think that's the only kind of music she listens to, but she figured let's throw that on. And then once it starts playing, she says, I don't want to monopolize the playlist though. Feel free to play whatever you all like. So does anyone else want to add to the queue?
And are you like passing a slate around or how is this happening?
Okay, in the future, which by the way, when we were in the car yesterday and we were playing put a playlist on. It said other people on this Wi-Fi connection can add to the playlist. So I don't even think this is that futuristic.
The future is now.
Yeah,
Spotify.
The future. You can do that right now. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure there's nothing to pass around where you could just do some swipies on your slate and add to the queue.
No, okay. The aux cord has remained. We actually regressed.
The aux cord came back.
The aux cord.
I think I just really quickly type something, like look up from the window, click some things on my slate, and you just see like a notification on Leela's slate that says 1,000 light years away by Asteroid Belt Buckle added to the queue.
Oh my god. what is the genre of that? I need you to be explicit.
No, I don't.
I think you know.
I don't actually.
I actually think it's a genre that just we don't have, and it's a genre that's essentially like nature sounds remixed into a techno beat, but it's not digital sounds. It's like just repetitions of recorded sounds that you would experience in the wild, but it's EDM.
Okay. So no lyrics.
No, it's just a vibe.
Okay.
If there's a lyric, it's sung by an animal just howling.
Oh
in
my
the wild.
God.
You're a monster.
No, coming directly at all of my music in one hit, right?
Fun fact, all of the songs for the show were actually by Asteroid Belt Buckle.
Yeah. It's like just putting my DJ name on the mic. Fuck, Mo.
I think Mara is like kind of welcomes this little reprieve and she pulls up her playlist and is really trying to ponder which song from Banjos, a diaspora, that she wants to add to this. And I think she adds like two from like Africa and one from like the American South. And she's like looking around, like trying not to smile, but she's like, oh, these people are in for it. What a treat.
Arno's taste in music is much older and regional, you might say. And so you might see a couple songs. He just rediscovered these, like some of his family, like listened to old music that's still held on like physical devices that couldn't stream or share through the cloud.
On Zoom.
And so he's about to introduce some folks to some Celine Dion and Nickelback.
Oh, no.
Canadian classics 200 years in the future.
Okay. I love this. So I do want to go back to you, Nasir, though. You're still kind of staring out the window as this is happening.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think what I want to do is flash back to a scene that you and I have talked about, which is Nasir's first field assignment on Aventine. So this is kind of when you're first getting to know Mateo. And so as you're kind of looking out the window, I think we pick up on Aventine and we're inside a space in a building that's kind of halfway between a break room and a meeting area. And this is a meeting of various people who are working at Water Management District number 7, several hundred miles away from the Aventine capital. And so to start this off, I can kind of see two ways of this going, which is either Nasir got there early because he's so eager, or he got there late because someone didn't tell him about the meeting, or maybe like the time got moved up without him knowing. So which one do you think it is?
Oh, he is so eager.
Okay.
I think we see like sitting at the table with both his slate and like a brand new physical black notebook, which he is like barely understands how to use. And he's still like trying to like practice writing.
He gets like the hand smears and he's like, wait, what is this?
100, like still like trying to like get his handwriting down. I think you also see that like he has got his hair's a little longer than the last time we saw him in a flashback. And above his right ear, there is like a new ear cuff, but you can tell it's new because the ear's a little red.
Okay.
And this is like a very recent development.
Interesting. So I think there's maybe like five or six people in the room with you, including the three people who we saw in the first flashback that we did to Aventine. So this is Mateo and kind of two of his coworkers. And I think that maybe some people are just kind of sitting there looking at their slate, like playing Future Angry Birds or doing whatever they're doing on there. And I think are some people having a conversation that are kind of, I don't think pointedly, but not including you, Nasir. But after a minute, we see a woman walk through the door. And this is Kwan Min Ha, who is the district administrator. She's in her early 50s, has light tan skin, long dark hair that's just like a shade lighter than black, and a sort of round face with soft features, but a very neutral expression. But she walks in and kind of shuts the door behind her and takes a seat at the head of the table and pulls out of her satchel a large slate and puts it on the table in front of her. Let's get started, everyone. But before we go any further, we have a new guest here today. Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone, Mr. Baydock?
Hello, everyone. I'm Nasir Baydock. I am very excited to be here. And it is lovely to meet all of you.
I think you kind of get, in response to this, it's like crickets mostly. But I think you get some kind of like looks and maybe some soft smiles just at seeing your whole setup that you have in front of you and the kind of arrangement of accessories you brought to the meeting.
Nerd.
100%.
It's cute.
For what it's worth, I smile the whole time. Like my smile never falters.
Okay. So I think at this point, I want to kind of like montage through this next part, but we see Min Ha kind of run through a briefing, asking various people to report on like tasks and projects that they're handling. But as things are winding down, she says, well, I know this is everyone's favorite part, but it looks like we have a block in one of the feed lines out in grid 39. Alfie, are you up for this one? And then Alfie King is the kind of bald, built guy that we saw in the previous flashback. He says, I just went there 3 days ago. Someone else has to be up. And then Min Ha responds, well, someone has to take it. And there's kind of like an awkward silence as everyone in the room, except for you, Nasir, kind of trades glances with each other.
I raise my hand, not to volunteer, but to ask a question.
Okay. I think everyone kind of like looks at you And then Minha says, you don't have to raise your hand, Nasir.
The office douchebags are absolutely slacking about you. They're just like, look at this fucking Earther tryhard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, to interject in your flashback, but I could play the douchebag in the right hand side, right?
This is perfect.
When she says that, I'll put my hand down and I'll sort of rub the top of my head and smile bashfully. Is anyone capable of looking into the blockage?
I think Minha like kind of takes a second and then she says, anyone who knows what they're doing.
At that, the shit-eating grin pops onto my face. I'd be happy to volunteer.
So when you say that, I think we see the woman with light brown skin and short hair, who we also saw in the first flashback on Aventine, who you learned that her name is Ravina Cassell. But she looks up and says, look, he's obviously still getting used to Aventine. And, well, if he loses his lunch again inside one of the pipes, I mean, it might take days to clean that out, right? And I think you get kind of some snickers from the other people in the room.
I chuckle along with everybody.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Fully and complete. Like, it's not just water off my back. I'm laughing like I'm part of the group.
Yeah. Okay. So I think Minha kind of looks at her and maybe gives her a bit of a disappointed or frustrated look, but then looks to you and says, I'll leave it to you, Mr. Badok. You really think you're up for this?
I'll give it my best, ma'am.
Fine. Mateo, you go too. Make sure he doesn't fuck it up. And I think the last shot in the room that we get is Mateo kind of looking over at you, just like slightly shaking his head and grinning, almost just shy of a laugh. But at this point, I want to cut away to the next scene, which is Mateo waiting at the job site for you to arrive this year. And so, Mo, I want to turn it over to you to maybe describe the Aventine landscape a little bit and sort of paint this picture of what we're seeing kind of away from any kind of settlement or civilization as you're working on this kind of water fixture.
So I think the landscape has sort of like two distinct aspects to it, right? Like there is the place where we are sort of developed farmland where you have these sort of like green valleys, but a lot of the landscape is what I understand to be like badland or like canyons and mesas. Mm-hmm. So think like the American West, you know, reddish rock, sort of areas that are sort of uneven or craggy or hilly. And like interspersed throughout is plant life that is sort of, maybe if you're not paying close attention, you might not notice immediately that it's different from ours. But like the colors are all wrong, right? Like, and I think that like even like the wood on Aventine has got like a bluish purple color to it, as opposed to like this sort of dark browns that we're familiar with.
Yeah. And so is this in those kind of Badlands area or in the more like developed green space, or is it kind of in the in-between?
I think this is in the in-between, right? This is in the space that's the water and the rivers flow through these canyons. And so this is a place that's trying to bring water from the Badlands into where we want to grow crops so that we can irrigate.
And so if Nasir is getting there now, how are you arriving at this location? What kind of like vehicle are you taking there?
So I think I'm coming on what is essentially a four-wheeler from my like residence in town and a little bit closer to the office out to like essentially the outlands, right? Like the area where we sort of meet the less hospitable parts of the countryside. I'm coming in on like a four-wheeler and I think I come off and I'm dressed very differently, right? Like I was probably in some like maroon slacks and like a khaki shirt. Now I am 100% olive green, like workman's attire, like overalls with like cargo pockets, like down the front and down the sides. I've got like a tool belt on. I think I've probably got like a screwdriver behind my ear. I have like every tool you could imagine that for what is probably like a routine checkup. But I'm like covered in gear. And I think I've got like a jacket on over it that has also got like extra pockets. And I think we don't really know what's in them, but if you like looked, every pocket is definitely full, right? Like I've got sort of like a lumpy shape.
So I think that Mateo is kind of wearing exactly what he wore when you described him in that first scene, which is that he has like a tank top on and this kind of futuristic, like, I don't know if it's cargo pants or work pants on, but a lot less than whatever is going on with you. And I think he arrived in a SUV or maybe even closer to a van that has kind of a double back door. And I think he opens that up and takes a wrench or some other tool out and closes it, but then turns back to see you kind of getting off of the four wheeler. And he just kind of has like eyes wide open at you.
All right. Ready for whatever. And I've got like a huge smile on my face.
Yeah. He gets a big grin and he says, I can tell, but lose the belt, okay? It might get caught in the ladder.
Oh, all right. And I will take the belt off and like just drop it over the four-wheeler.
So I think he walks up to this kind of protrusion, this access point. He starts undoing the top of it with the wrench. And he says, look, I know this is your first time, so probably best for you to follow my lead. Unless that is, you think you can handle this on your own.
I'm happy to do whatever needs to happen. Happy to take the lead on this one. If you don't, I can handle it.
He kind of just raises an eyebrow and says, you understand that things out here are different than what you learned in a classroom back on Earth, right?
I think at that, my smile flickers for like a half a second. If they're different, that's just an opportunity to learn something new.
So, okay. I think with that line, I want to kind of turn it over to you. And I want to hear, how does the next several hours go? I want you just to kind of describe how the scene progresses and how the work gets done on this.
So I think we head down into the tunnels. And these tunnels are like water pipe access, I think. And they're huge, right? They're like three times the size of a person by height and width, so like 20 feet across in a sort of diameter. And we head some way down the pipe and it has like the water's been turned off. And I think we head down, and when we get to the blockage, there's sort of two groups of people, right? There is a group of clearly managers just like arguing. And I think they're discussing how, like, what the best way to remove the blockage is, and like if there's a clever way to do this and sort of what can happen. And there's a second group that is at the blockage, shoveling away at it, like removing the blockage, yeah, chipping away from the walls and from the center. And I want to name it, smells awful, right? Like this is this is like water that has been drawn in, and I think that there's like all kinds of shit in it. And like this is like pre-water treatment. Like this is literally shit. Like literally it smells like feces. And there's just a group of people like in the shit, shoveling it, trying to get rid of it. And Mateo and I walk up and join the conversation with the managers for like maybe like a minute or two before Nasir looks over and just sees that there are people working at the blockage already. And when I see that, I just take off my jacket, since no one's really engaging with me anyway, and I walk over to the people who are clearing the blockage and I ask for a shovel. And I just start like picking at the blockage with everyone else and like shoveling shit. And I think Mateo is like standing with the managers, like getting updates, and he's sort of getting increasingly frustrated with the fact that like we just need more power, like manpower, staff power here working at clearing this blockage. Like there's no clever solution, it's just work. And after about like 10-15 minutes of like arguing with these people and getting frustrated, I think he looks up exacerbated and like realizes I'm not standing there and starts looking around for me and sees me at the blockage. And I think he tells the two other people there like to go fuck themselves. And then like in the kind of way that you can with someone that you've been working with for a long time, and then like walks over and essentially like joins in. And like after a few hours of like grueling manual shitty labor, I think like the blockage is cleared and like we're like heading back up and like messaging
home base to like restart the water.
And I think just to go back to like kind of the shoveling and him walking up to you, I think it's kind of like we get that shot of him walking up and then it's like him looking to the side and seeing you and you kind of looking to the side and seeing him and you're both kind of engaging in this work.
I think when we share the look, yeah. I smile like it's a huge shit eating grin on my face. Almost literally shit eating this time.
Yeah.
And like I'm in like grueling manual labor, hours of grueling manual labor in stink. And there's a huge smile on my face.
Yeah. I think he kind of sees you do that. And we get that same shaking his head left and right. But kind of he has a almost like amused look on his face that the fact that you're kind of taking this with such cheer. But yeah, so after several hours, I think you're kind of finishing up and maybe it's, well, let me ask this. What time of day is it when all this, when you're finished? Like, what does it kind of look like outside?
I think we got the notice at the close of day meeting. So probably like late afternoon. And then we came over here. It was probably around sunset. It is probably now pretty close to dawn.
Oh, so you've been like working all through the night at this?
All through the night. It's probably okay. Like, and it was dark inside, and when we come out, it's definitely dark. But we're probably like at most like an hour and a half, 2 hours from dawn.
Yeah. Oh from man. So I think when you come up the ladder, just to describe the scene, then if it's dark and you're like way out in the kind of Aventine, like near the wilderness, like far from civilization, the stars are so clear in the night just because there's no light, and you can really take in that this starscape is like a different perspective than what you would see on Earth.
I think when we're sort of standing there, isn't it just amazing that even from a different point of view they're the same stars?
He just kind of like exhales when you say that and then kind of shakes his head as if he just had a thought and then turns to you and says, come on, I want to show you something. And I think that's when I want to cut back to the car. Ugh. And I think we have Nickelback playing on the...
Oh, no. Fuck you, John, for reminding me. And fuck you, Mike, for making it a reality.
Look at this photograph. No, Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
No, first of all, it's Animals that's playing right now.
Oh, my God.
So I think we just hear the music.
I think it's rude that Celine Dion got brought into this because I don't think she was ever forgotten.
So I'd like to just point out that I'm not sure how many people know that Nickelback is from Canada, but fucking everyone knows Celine Dion is from Canada.
That's true. So I think we kind of hear the music softly in the background and maybe it clicks off because Arno, I think you see maybe a couple hundred yards down the road. You see like some metallic shapes kind of to the left or right of the roadway. And as you get closer, you see that this is the moved off the road, but still there remains of the wrecked convoy in the photographs that you saw. And just to describe that further, on many of them, you see that the sides are kind of smashed and dented in. One of them is actually like flipped up onto its rear end. So it's kind of like an SUV, but with the front facing up into the sky. And then another of the vehicles on the right side of the road appears to be burnt out. And as the car kind of, comes to a halt on the roadway, you see that off to the left side, there are some faded blood trails. And so as soon as you stop, I think Ren kind of scans the horizon and then opens the door and steps out of the vehicle. But I want to know, as he does that, what are the four of you doing as you arrive on the scene?
I think Mara gets out and straps her sensor onto her hand in anticipation of examining the scene of the crime.
Okay.
Lila's going to stay glued to Kriga and keep her hand on his arm and make sure that he's not going anywhere because she still doesn't trust him.
Yeah. What about Arno and Nasir?
I think Arno wants to get out and take a look to see if there's anything moving, or if there's anybody else or anything else in the vicinity.
Okay, so just kind of like surveying the whole perimeter.
Yeah, I don't want to put it too on the nose, but I guess I am scoping it out.
Yeah. Okay. And then what about Unisir?
I think I am slinging an assault rifle over my shoulder and stepping out of the grizz. There's like very little gear on me and I'm sort of like looking out and ready to go.
Okay. So I think I want to maybe start with you, Lauren, and have you scope it out to kind of see what you're discovering with the sensor.
So I think that Mara is very gingerly approaching the scene. It is taking a lot of her mental energy to physically put one foot in front of another because the signs of struggle and blood and carnage is very, very upsetting to her. But I think that I will invoke a hook here. My first one, solving the big problems is the most important thing I can do. I won't let relationships with others stand in the way. What I will say here is that I think that she is ignoring her own trauma and engaging with the situation. So I think that she absolutely has disadvantage on anything going forward, including this role, I'd say right here, frankly.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So I am scoping it out. I will roll my +2 calculating. I will add one more die to see. Let's have something fun go on here. It's just let's be light and fun about it. A 1, 4, 2, 6, 7.
All right. That's still a partial success.
We love a partial.
All right. Okay. So for scope it out, on a 7 or 9, you can ask one question from the list. And feel free to, again, kind of shape it into, like, what are you looking into at the scene?
Let me peruse my options. I guess what I will say is, looking at the scene, does Mara believe that there is anywhere for the creature to be hiding in wait?
Oh, interesting. Okay. And I guess what question from the list would you use?
No, I guess what I'm saying is that would shape my question. If she thinks the creature is actively on
I see
site,
what you're saying.
Then she's going to look for that.
Oh, yeah.
If she thinks this is truly like an environment where she can investigate without being attacked, yeah.
So, yeah, okay. So, I get what you're saying. So, I think if you're taking in this scene, I don't think that there's any obvious spot that you see that this creature would be like hiding among the wreckage. These sort of wrecked vehicles are all placed to the side of the road. And this is very far from any dense foliage or anywhere where you would expect this thing to have cover. So this is kind of very open ground.
Okay. So I think based on her perception that the creature probably isn't laying in wait, my question will be who or what here could be a useful opportunity. And her idea here is, right, we have these dual mysteries of... Is she still thinks maybe the creature is somehow involved with the Lustra, maybe. So if she could get some signs about Lustra at the pumping site or if it's the creature, I think she's really working that sensor.
So I think you have your sensor out and you're kind of going through all of the like electromagnetic frequencies, kind of trying to see for if there's any signs of anything. And maybe you're... I'm going to give you a couple things here. Okay. I think you're going through, and I think you start by focusing on the same frequency that the device that you found on Satis was.
Yeah.
So you're kind of scanning this, and I think you're not really seeing anything, and then you get faint blips.
Pop, pop.
And I think it's like, okay, nothing here that you can track, but... This raises your suspicion of there being something somewhere on this planet for you to look into. But I think the thing that you do get here is after kind of seeing this, you continue to move through the frequency spectrum and you get a kind of like wide band signal.
Mm.
And I think you're kind of scanning and going through these vehicles and you get it's like the kind of like beep, 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 and it's getting closer and closer. And you see, and maybe this is like a vehicle that's flipped over on its side near the ground by this, like kind of by where the window was. You see what looks like an employee ID badge And this is a badge that's for the for this Northwest mine.
Okay.
And so I think on this badge, you see that the name is Taryn Clark. And I think what we see is I want to cut away from you for a second, but I think we see you kind of typing in the information on this badge into your slate or otherwise trying to look this up. And so now, Mike, if you're kind of scoping out the landscape, I want you to go ahead and roll scope it out.
Fuck yeah. Come on, no experience.
Do you believe in love? Oh, wait, no, that's Cher, sorry.
Wow. It's all coming back. I'll take a 7.
No, yeah, right. It's an 8, yeah.
An 8. All right, so again, scope it out. When you take time or use sensitive equipment to closely study an object, situation, or person, you roll plus calculating. And on 7 tonight, you can ask one question from the list.
And I will ask... I guess just what should I be on the lookout for?
Okay. I like that one. So I think you're kind of looking out, and I just want, can you describe, I guess, like, how is Arno looking as he's kind of scoping out the horizon here?
So we could see the wreckage. I guess what Arno's trying to figure out is, like, where did it look like things went wrong for the wreck? Did it look like something came from the road, off the road? Did it look like the wreckage was stopped in its tracks or hit from the side? Things of that nature to get a sense of, like, how the collision may have happened and, like, from what direction or sort of, like, what happened here. And then barring that, really trying to take a look to see if there's, like, what attention or what has changed as a result of the wreckage. You know, maybe there's some wildlife that's, like, been attracted to this, or maybe it's just very quiet and still. I'm just trying to get a good sense of not just what happened, but, like, what has happened since.
Okay. I like that. So I think I want to kind of, like, do some intercutting here. Leela, you're with Ren, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he kind of stops and crouches down by the ground. And you just see him kind of look at the earth and kind of trace his hand along a depression in the ground and kind of look up and look further down the road. So it seems like he's kind of on to something. So Mara, while this is happening, though, I think we kind of cut back and see you looking at the slate. And I think it's kind of like running through a bunch of names, and we're kind of seeing, like, employee records kind of flashing up and down the screen, right? And then I think a kind of red box appears that just says no record found. And Arno, I think you're kind of by one of the side turned cars. And there are some little pebbles on the wheel. And that's kind of, like, horizontal to the ground because it's turned on its side. And I think you just see the pebbles start to kind of vibrate.
Mm-hmm. Don't like this jello scene.
Jurassic
don't like
Park
it.
Style?
Yeah, I don't like it. I hate it.
What's going on here?
And we're getting close to the end of the episode, so I feel like John's going to spring something really scary on us.
Yeah, no, so but that was actually a question for you, like, Jurassic Park style, or
yeah,
is this
you fucking
just
know
something
what it is,
like,
dude, you fucking know what it is.
It's kind of just a continuous tremor.
So it's not Jurassic Park style, it's tremor style.
Okay. What do I do here?
Hit it.
Arno is going to very dramatic, oh my god, get on a knee and to get a sense of, like, the intensity of the tremor.
So yeah, I think you do that, and the intensity is growing. And I think we see Ren kind of stand up from his crouched position. And then he looks back to you and has a sense of alarm on his face. And that's when, Arno, you see that maybe half a mile in the distance, the ground kind of bulges up as if, like, a wave under the ground and is moving close to you at a very high speed.
Fuck you.